Amen. We're in part two of our series, Rooted. And if you were with us last week for Easter, we did part one and we looked at God as the creator, the sustainer, the redeemer, and the master of death. How God created life, he created everything good, how he created the world, and then he also brings life by defeating death. And so we looked at that, we talked about that, and how it says that God holds everything together. And we discussed the fact that because God holds everything together, that he's the sustainer of people and creation, that the further we move from him as creator and sustainer, the more we move away from him who holds everything together. And, you know, we just sang a few minutes ago that he holds the stars and he holds my heart. He holds the universe together and we're part of the universe. We're part of creation. And the more we move away from him, the more we fall apart. And right now, you know, we're looking at a world that is, in many ways, probably feels really like it's falling apart from a lot of different forces. I mean, there's the whole virus thing. But that virus has had a cascading effect, and it's not like everything was perfect before. It has highlighted, and it made the tensions worse, and especially in our own country, where we seem incapable of even as fellow Americans getting together anymore. Because if you're a red state or a Republican American, well, then you hate the Democrats, and if you're a Democrat, you hate the Republicans, and we can't even agree on how to try to take care of each other. You know, are we going too far or not far enough? Is the biggest thing we have to worry about that we're killing the economy, or is the big thing to worry about that we're going to kill people? And then where is the line? And I'll tell you, if I don't know about you, but like even yesterday, my heart got really tired and kind of bruised just watching what people are saying about each other. And it's not like Christians are different. In fact, that's what has bruised my heart the most is listening to Christians be so negative and so critical and just everyone tearing each other apart. And that's on top of the anxiety about our health, anxiety about our economy and our jobs, and how do I take care of my family, how do I keep them safe, and how do I provide for them, and all these things. And we say, and you know, that's before you start worrying about things like terrorism and all this other stuff. Why? If God is so good, why are we in this shape? And if God has created everything and he created it good and he's the sustainer, then why do we feel things are so messed up? And that's what we're going to talk about today in Broken and Cursed. And look at the fact that the Bible explains this really well, because the Bible tells us the truth. And so let's pray, and then let's open the Word of God and listen to God tell us and help us understand why we're where we are. Let's pray. Good morning again, Father, as we open your Word now. Lord, I thank you that your Word is truth. And Lord, as we go through this current time of fear, anxiety, anger, blame, as we go through these things, we thank you that we can turn to your Word and find truth that doesn't shift with elections or leaders. It doesn't shift with the passage of time. And Lord, as we see what's going on in our world today, we see your Word proving itself true again. Lord, may we draw strength from you and your Word. May it hold a mirror up to ourselves so we may see ourselves more clearly, so that we might know what to do and know the solution to all the things that we're facing. So, Lord, be with us right now as we open your Word and for this time of study. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to look at four passages. And the first one is in Romans chapter 1. We're going to do verses 18 through 21, and I'm behind on my slides, so I apologize for that. So there our slides. I'm still not used to doing it myself. So Romans 1, 18 through 21. Romans 1, 18 through 21. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. So this is the first piece of our explanation and our puzzle this morning. It says that God, we already talked about that God created everything, and he created it good. And it said that when he created it in a way that reveals who he is. And he's not in creation, he's not part of creation, but everything he created points back to him, and it said what he's like can be seen from two things. One, because we're in his image, we can understand him a bit in ourselves. We all, you know, why does every culture in the world develop religion? Because every culture in the world has an awareness that there's a God. And atheism only develops later when people decide that they're too smart for that anymore. He says, so there's an innate knowledge of God, and then you just look out and you can see, and not just that there's a God, but it says some of what he's about, his invisible attributes, his eternal power, and divine nature have all been clearly seen. So you got no excuse for not understanding that he's there, but it says, but because they decided they were smarter than that, professing to be wise, well, we're learned. We're very. And it says, but they became fools, and they got rid of God, and replaced it with an image of man and of animals. And if that doesn't describe, I've gotten letters from friends who are like, "Ira, you're so stupid. If you would really learn, you would know that God is just." And I'm just like, "Wow, you just proved the Bible right." But man wants to focus on him, on himself, and not focus on God anymore. So that's the first piece. So then, let's turn over to Isaiah. And again, I'm not keeping up with my slides. So the Creator is revealed in creation, but a man ignored and focused on himself and creation. All right, our second verse is Isaiah 53. Verse 6. Isaiah 53, verse 6. And this is, Isaiah 53 is a verse that refers to and talks a lot about the Messiah, talks about Jesus coming. But we're just going to grab one verse here. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. And we just want to grab that first part. It says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Every one of us go our own way. And if you don't know that that's true, you're not reading the news. Because especially now, you know, who are these governors to tell us what to do? We need to decide for ourselves. I mean, we are free. And to be free, we get to do what we need to do. Well, that's not new. And that's not reserved for any political party or political movement. That is the human race. I have four children at home, and they want to do what they want to do. They want to go their own way. And God says, you're kind of like sheep. you're hard to steer. You just wander wherever you feel like going. Still in Isaiah Still in Isaiah, Isaiah 24. So back a little bit. Isaiah 24, 4 through 6. This is actually talking about the judgment. But listen to what God says through Isaiah here. Isaiah 24, 4 through 6. The earth mourns and withers. The world fades and withers. The exalted of the people of the earth fade away. The earth is also polluted by its inhabitants, for they transgressed laws, violated statutes, broke the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse devours the earth, and those who live in it are held guilty. Therefore, the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Boy, that resonates today, doesn't it? The earth mourns and withers, fades and withers, and even exalted people of the earth fade away. The earth is polluted. And I don't think this is talking about environmental issues, though I think that counts. But notice it says, why? Because the people transgressed laws, violated statutes, and broke everlasting covenants. Because the people did whatever they wanted to do, and they didn't do what God asked them to do. They didn't do what God commanded them to do, and the whole of creation groans under that. Sometimes we call something like what's happening right now with the pandemic an act of God. But while we don't know all the origins of that, we know that our own behavior helps make these things happen. Whether it be unsafe eating practices and unsafe the way we handle even how we interact with animals, because many of our viruses actually come from animals. And sometimes they jump over because of things that we do, you know, eating animals that we shouldn't eat or eating animals in an unsafe way, and we pick up viruses from them. There's a lot of different ways. And then how we interact with each other. And then when we're sick, do we take good care of each other? And when so many things that even happen in our environment, well, how many of them do we have a role in? Whether we just, you know, you didn't build well, or, you know, this, it's complicated. And this isn't about blame in sense of trying to just get mad at people. But it is an explanation of the fact that because starting right with Adam and Eve, when they decided to do whatever they wanted to do instead of what God had asked them to do, that there are negative consequences for that that we are all living with. And sometimes that makes us very uncomfortable because we want to be masters of our own destiny, because we want to do things our own way. We tend to downplay the fact that going your own way can hurt other people. And there's a cascade effect throughout the world. One more passage. So we transgressed laws, violated standards, broke the covenants. One more, Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. Jeremiah 17, 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. And we'll stop there. Boy, there's a lot there, and that kind of brings all the things we've looked at so far together, doesn't it? It says, you know, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. And there's a lot of anger towards our fellow man, whether it's our leaders in one party or another, whether it's the leaders in another country, we say, well, it's their fault. And I'll tell you what has kept me from that kind of anger. I'm not angry at the Republicans. I'm not angry at the Democrats. I'm not angry at the Chinese. Because having studied the Bible, I know I can't trust them anyway. And that trusting them is going to curse me. It's going to cause trouble for me. Verse 6, you'll be like a bush in the desert. You'll wither away. And many people right now, they're withering. They're in trouble. And in the moments when I pull up root, I begin to wither. Yesterday was a day of some withering. And what restored me was worship. What restored me was focusing on the Lord. That's the next part here. The blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He'll be like a tree planted with its roots in the stream. And he will not fear when the heat comes. So I can be rooted in this world, run by humans, dependent on the acts of humans, including flawed leaders, in my way and their way and the American way and the whatever way, but in the human way, I can be rooted in that, or I can be rooted in God, the creator and sustainer. Because the other thing it says is heat and drought come. And it says when the heat and drought comes, you will not fear or become anxious. Does that resonate? To fear and become anxious. And if you are trusting in people, you're afraid of something. You're either afraid of the virus or you're afraid of the lockdown and the economic results. But either way, I am so afraid, and I'm afraid, you know, I'm afraid we're all going to die, or I'm afraid we're all going to become communist, or I'm afraid of something, and that fear withers. And you know what the first casualty of that withering is? Love. You won't be able to love others. The last little part of that, verse 9, the heart is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. It's talking about our heart. It doesn't mean your cardiac organ. It's your inner person. Because on our own, we're all, we like sheep have gone astray. We are broken. We are going our own way. We have transgressed laws and violated standards because we do our own thing. So let's kind of apply this today. We are experiencing right now heat and drought. How you doing? Because these are the times that will reveal where your roots are. Because on a rainy summer afternoon, even people whose lives are not rooted in God seem okay. But now the heat and drought have come. And you begin to see who has their roots. And you can have professed Jesus like crazy. The Bible says that many profess Jesus, but don't have their roots in him. And here it says, when the heat and drought come, now you're going to know where your roots are. And this isn't about judging others. This is about your own heart. Because tough times reveal where your roots are. The problem is we are pretty proud and stubborn, and our own way is very important to us. That's true of me. Boy, the quickest way to get me to do something is tell me you don't think I can. And something rises up in me. That's human nature. We don't like to be told no. We don't like to be told I can't. And that's why now when the government tells us things we can't do, I mean, it's how dare you? It's wrong. I've heard the word immoral thrown around a few times. Well, because my children, they hate to be told what to do. And I hate to be told what to do. And we're pretty stubborn because our way is very important to us. The other problem is we easily ignore what God teaches. God has told us the way we need to go. But we tend to be guided less by that than what feels or seems best. I know how I should always speak to my children. But when I'm tired, or they're on my last nerve, when I'm super frustrated and worn out and they're being super annoying, which do you think I follow? How I feel or what the Bible says? What do? When someone is, when you feel under threat by someone or something, when an enemy is staring you in the face or feels like an enemy is, are you more guided by how you feel or by what the Bible teaches about how you're supposed to treat enemies? And of course, my guess is, well, the thing that pulls at you the most, the thing that wins more often is what feels best, what seems best for you, not what God has taught. Because we're just like the Bible says. We transgress laws and we violate standards. And I see stuff, you know, I see stuff online that drives me bananas. And rather than loving my enemy and blessing those who curse, and a gentle answer turns away wrath, and do not answer a fool, and all the different things that God has told me to give me guidance to do better, I start typing. Praise God for the delete key. It saves me 85% of the time. How about you? How about when you speak? How about all the different ways that we are transgressing what the Bible told us to do? We could be here all day, right? Talking about the different things. And what does it do? It helps make it worse. It helps make it worse because the curse continues and we perpetuate it. And then we go, man, you know, Facebook is just so full of, or social media is just so negative. Yep. Terrible Facebook. It's not Facebook's fault. Facebook doesn't have a soul. It's just a piece of technology. What makes it so corrupt? We do. And I'm not part of the problem. It's everybody else. Well, but do I do what feels best for me when I get on social media? When I talk to a neighbor? When I interact with government? Do I go my own way and perpetuate the curse? You know how you'll be able to tell whether you are spreading peace and are at peace, whether you are full of joy or angst, whether you are full of confidence or anxiety, whether you are full of love or beginning to feel rising hatred. If you watch the children's message, are you green and full of life or are you crispy and brittle? The Word of God is showing us the problem. And the problem isn't God. And the problem isn't a coronavirus. And the problem isn't corrupt government officials. We are the problem. So let me just close with some questions here. Are you rooted here? Have you made mankind your strength and therefore you are really experiencing the curse? And again, you say, well, I'm a believer. I'm a believer too. But yesterday, I was pretty cursed. Because my focus was on mankind, and mankind became my strength, and mankind was letting me down, including believers. And it was hard for me to not go my own way. Because that is the second question. I cease to become aware of my heart's deceit. I start wanting to respond out of my wisdom, out of what I know. I know better. Come on, let me set you all straight. And I forget that my own heart is deceitful. The Bible told me that, and it is, because it tells me to not look inward. It tells me to look outward. It tells me to find blame and not find repentance. It tells me to pay attention to who's wronger than me, rather than to remember that I am broken and sinful myself, and that I need grace and mercy. And if I forget that I need grace and mercy, I will not show any, because my heart is deceitful and I forget. Are you seeking to be rooted in God? You say, well, it's really hard. Yes, it's hard. This world is not designed to help you get to him, because this world is designed to pull you away from him, because Satan has structured, he's rigged the game. And if you want a conspiracy theory, there it is, that the game is rigged to pull you into yourself, to rely on yourself. And Satan's not the only rigger of the game. We've rigged the game too. We have that deceitful heart. And so for me, I need to make sure every day that I am rooted in God, who died for me, who loved me, who died on the cross for me and saved me by shedding his blood for me, even though I didn't deserve it. And even though I was the problem, he made himself the solution. And that's what you need too. And you need it desperately. And these times show it, because I know many of you right now, you're not at peace. And you're full of anxiety. And I'll tell you right now, the solution to this virus, yeah, men are going to try to help us. Scientists that can maybe find vaccines or find treatments, and praise the Lord for those. But they will not fix the human heart. And I'll tell you, if you're worried about the economic downturn taking a toll on people's lives, that's true. But a good economy is not going to fix the human heart either. And so if you see either the virus or the economic downturn as the primary threats, then you do not understand the sinful heart of man, and that the only thing that's going to fix it is Jesus. Not in some cutesy Band-Aid way, but by giving us something greater than any human solution can provide. The salvation of our souls through the shed blood of the Creator. And if you're a Christian this morning, I beg you, whatever, if you are writing emails or making phone calls or you're posting on social media, whatever, however you're communicating, I beg you, if you know the Creator, if you know the Sustainer, if you know the Savior, advocate that first and foremost. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then everything else gets taken care of. Because all of our hearts are wicked, all of us need a Savior, and right now it's dry and it's hot, and people are withering away. Oh, that we would show the life of Jesus by having our roots in God. Let's pray.